Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Jeremy White.
It seems like for those of you that had old Nintendos, you pull the cartridge out, you blow in it, and you put it back in. Like, see if this works.
Yeah.
And sneaky Joe DiBiase.
The PlayStation 2 memory cards were the same thing for me. It did somehow always work.
You never had a regular Nintendo, Josh.
No, I did. My first game system was a GameCube.
Old? What was I thinking? I ain't old.
The GameCube was not regular Nintendo.
Let's talk about the actual first Nintendo.
Boy, I could teach you guys some things about video games. I'm going to give you a phrase. You tell me if it means anything to you. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start.
We're not so different. You and I.
Let me ask you if this brings anything to mind. Wave dashing.
No.
Okay. See?
What's that?
Different times. Smash Bros.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. It is Friday. Yes, it's Friday. It's Friday.
Yes.
Happy Friday.
The weekend.
The Leafs advanced.
They finally 2-13 now in elimination games.
Congratulations to them.
They did it.
Yeah.
Which is good because I think that makes the next series more interesting.
Jeremy and Joe, the Leafs and Panthers.
Yeah. You can root for upsets all you want, but really if the big team gets through, it is more interesting.
There's one other second round matchup that looks interesting, and it's funny because whatever, it's been a busy week with the Bills and the draft, and some of these games are on late. I felt like every headline I read was how Vegas could not handle Minnesota. And they
won in six.
They just beat them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How the Kings were giving the Oilers a different kind of trouble. And they...
Wow. I mean, and you can chime in if you want on this. That series was just, to me, the Oilers score a million goals and they cannot get a save.
Right. Okay. Well, they're both through.
Which is fun.
Yeah, it is
and
true.
And they are both through, right.
And now we have Vegas and Edmonton.
Yes.
Have we had that before?
No.
I don't think we've had that in the playoffs.
McDavid versus Eichel?
That's right.
I don't think we've had that
in the
playoffs.
I don't think we've had that in the playoffs.
No, me neither. And then, meanwhile, Minnesota, did you see the stat on them this morning? The Minnesota Wild have become the first team in any of the four pro sports in North America to make the playoffs 8-plus times in a 10-year span and lose in the opening round every single time. Like, the Leafs are kind of seen as that. Minnesota Wild, that's your team for this. They made the playoffs more than 8 times in 10 years and have not won a round.
Yeah, it's tough. Would you take that?
Different type of existence, of misery than,
different.
Than a Sabres existence of misery.
I was going to say, would you take that for the Sabres for the next 10 years? Or would you take an unforeseen outcome? Let's make a deal. Make it 8 times in 10 years, never make it out of the first round, or... door number two.
Door number two, which
is door number two.
Which could be I never make it.
That could be you make it 3 times. Could you make it twice? Could you make it 10? Door number two. You have to take door number two.
Unforeseen?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking unforeseen.
You have to take door number two.
But yeah, because the thing is though, and I'm assuming I don't know, like I'm gonna make the deal and then I'm gonna get the Men in Black thing and I'm not gonna know that I made the deal.
Sure.
Okay. Because the first 2-3 times making it are going to be fun. Are going to be really fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Breaking the drought, and then they're going to go back, and then like we're going to have good conversations and expectations and fun games and winning in the regular season. And then when does it really get really, really, really old? Is it year 5?
Probably. Well,
year 7?
Here's your question. When did Bills Chiefs get old?
After the third time.
There you go. There's your answer. Yeah. Not to say this
football versus hockey.
Not to say this hasn't been fun and this hasn't been great. But
sure.
When does it get old? Maybe the third time you lose to them.
Okay,
be my guess. And, you know, in the Wild's case, it might not be the same team every time, so maybe it's not old. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
Tough one for the Wild. Tough one.
That's but good, because I'd rather see Vegas than Edmonton.
Meanwhile, cool. On the Sabres front, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. We're here all day today, you know, till 10. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, joins us at 9. I do have an idea to later today try to guess what on earth these rivalries uniforms that they're going to be making could look like.
Yeah.
So we might spend some time with that. You want to start with Devon Levi, though?
Sure. Yeah.
The Amerks are through. They swept the crunch.
Yep.
Levi had back-to-back shutouts.
Yep.
And we talked about Levi with Paul earlier this week. He's, can I say, amazing?
Yes, you can.
In the AHL, he is amazing.
Yes.
And there was an article this week, Lance from the Buffalo News, Lance Lysowski, writing that Lukanen and Levi, the most likely pairing for the Sabres going forward. And here he is, just dominating the AHL again. And I want to put all my eggs in his basket, that this profile reads like a guy that in the right amount of time should be here and should be good. He's dominant on the AHL level. Is that too far?
No, I don't think so. I think you could say he's been dominant on every level so far that is
sure,
in the NHL.
Sure. And now that he's at the AHL, whether it's amazing or dominant or above par, I just, what am I supposed to do with it? He's supposed to be here. He should be here.
Well, he will be here.
Yeah,
he should be here next year.
Yes,
that's absolutely true. Like, if I could take away the how many NHL games has he played actually at this point? Is it 30? Is it less than that? Four? I don't even know.
It's not that many. I mean, it was 7 his first season, and how many last year was it?
2. This past year, I thought it was a few more than that.
Okay, and then he got hurt the year before, and they played him through it.
He's played 39 games in his
39.
Career. 9 this year, 23 the year before, and 7 the year before
23.
That. 23. Yeah, I mean, they began the year.
That's right.
Did he play the first 5?
Yeah.
He was the starter.
They leaned hard, yeah.
And they got hurt. So, you know, if I could take away all those NHL games that he's already played so far, and I just evaluate the steps of development for a young goalie that was a top prospect, I have him dominating every step of the way, which would imply to you that eventually he's going to get to that in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
That's not every time is that how it happens. I feel like Jack Campbell is a name in my head right now. That was
Owen's that a good name?
Jack Campbell is like a great prospect before the NHL, huge expectations, and he became a backup basically.
Yeah, right. He had a good sort of rocket up the charts as he was a younger guy, and then kind of.
Sure.
He, I think, played a style that was a little more conducive to inconsistent results.
Okay.
Where Levi is a little more technical and play reading, and that should translate a little better. Campbell, to me, always felt a little more athletic and probably a little more inconsistent.
Okay, I have another name for you here that's taken this track. Is Dustin Wolf the right name?
That is
Calgary.
100% the guy that I think about with Levi every single time
I think about Levi. Okay, because Wolf is a 7th-round pick.
Exactly, and small.
And it took him a couple of years to bake in the oven, and then he's good.
Exactly, and he dominated in the WHL when he was down there, and then he dominated the AHL when he was there, and then they brought him up to the big leagues, and here he is.
And he's
awesome.
He had 18 games 2 years before this year, 18 games, and you know he had a save percentage in the biggest season he had under 900. So,
yeah. Right.
Again, there's a lot more than
before
just...
Before getting going this year.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot more than just save percentage. He shows up this year and he's 9-10. And like, okay, he's a Calder Trophy candidate, right?
Like he dragged that Calgary team around because they were not... Like, I mean, look at that roster. It's not
53 very good. Games. Like, what if the Sabres got 9-10 goaltending for 53 games this year? On a team that scored the way that they scored...
I'd almost want to say I'd expect them to make the playoffs.
I would.
Yeah, at least
the way they scored
into the race until the last day of the season or 2 days of the season. But they probably,
If I can get the freaking power play to do anything.
right.
But other than that, I would expect them to make it. That to me is the interesting part of this. He is so good right now. Back-to-back shutouts. One of the top goalies in the AHL. And all the hype that if we're right, that he is, and they're right, that he's going to be like a great number one goalie. Not even just like a starter in the league, but he's going to eventually turn into like one of the 10 best goalies in hockey. That what that means to them. what that means to them year to year. Because part of them missing the playoffs all of these years is their inconsistency, right? And some of that's a lot of that's goalie, where one year you have good goaltending like they had last season, and then the next year, okay, I got to figure out the other stuff, and the goaltending will hold up, right? No, didn't hold up. And that's been true of almost every single goaltender. Actually, really has been true of every single goaltender except for Ullmark, and he got hurt all the time, since Ryan Miller's been their goalie. And if you could tell me that Levi's going to become top 10 goalie, and I've got him under contract, then year to year to year, I have this baseline that I'm starting with every single season.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna make the playoffs. I might not make it every year with that. It was Miller, wasn't it? Miller was every year you had a foundation that you were gonna have at least this good of goaltending. And sure, there'd be years where you'd miss the playoffs.
Yep.
Because just the rest of it wasn't good enough. But
I feel like he had one bad year too, but maybe Miller? Maybe not in that bad. It's probably the floor, like you said.
Right, but your floor, your minimum is, if I have a guy like that, then I'm at least going to make the playoffs. Like, what was it with Miller after Breer and Drury left? Two out of four? Two out of five?
Yeah.
I'm going to make it a couple times.
And the two in between, they were not completely embarrassing. Like, they were somewhat competitive.
Yeah. Right, so that feels like your floor if Levi gets going. Like, I think the meaning of him developing into what the hype kind of shows is more important than any other player in their organization right now.
Well,
I completely agree. Yeah. I think especially in the league the way it is now with the goaltending, it all fluctuates so much. There's not a lot of guys that are going to be consistently 9-10 goalies like we talk about here. And if you can find that gem and you can get it locked in, and that's a consistent part of your team build, that gives you a leg up on, I don't know, 75% of the league in terms of having the stability and increase to then build out and know, all right, we know we can absolutely get 9 out of 10 shots saved a game. That frees up everybody else on the roster to do what they need to do, whether it's the offensive defenseman for the Sabres. I mean, you know, you've got a lot of guys that want to do more on the offensive side of the puck, and I think some of that is stifled by we don't know what we've got in the blue paint right now.
And that's, you know, that's one thing where the Sabres have spent a lot of this offseason saying, like, well, we didn't play too well in front of him. They had the lowest high-danger save percentage in the NHL?
Yeah.
You could say you didn't do a good enough job in front of him. You could also say whenever it broke down, it went in the net.
Right.
Like, worst in the NHL.
Exactly. And you need those numbers, those high-danger save numbers for guys. It's not always a fair indicator of what's going on because you've got situations and they develop differently, and not all high danger chances are created equal. I'll tell you that. Like, some chances in that bubble, even though they're supposedly high danger, are not created the same as the others.
Yep.
And so there were definitely times this season with the Sabres where they were putting a lot on UPL and Reimer, but there were also times where you, as a player, as a skater, look back and go, we need a save here, and they almost never got that. Mm-hmm. And you need that in crucial points of the season. It's more about those key points. You zoom in on one game, Colorado, right? The 4-0 blow. You need a goalie to make one of those stops and just stop the bleeding. And that, think about how much one save there could have changed the course of the rest of that season. Like, I don't want to get too micro on that.
Right.
But
yeah.
That's the reality of the position, is the butterfly effect from you outwards is much greater than any other player has from their own position. You can dictate far more what happens in those games and where things go based on confidence and, you know, obviously scores of games. It changes everything.
Isn't he much more likely to be one of their two goalies next year than Lukanen is?
No.
Like, there's trade stuff about Lukanen.
Yeah.
Friedman had that.
Really? That they're going
to. Friedman said that they were going to be. That he was available. And that they were looking for maybe a swap. Like, to me, what would. If Kevin Adams is going to remain as the general manager, and at this point, I believe he is. I mean, there's no announcement on that, but there's no announcement that he isn't.
Right.
So.
I'm not sure there'll be an announcement of anything.
Right. So we're just going to keep going as though he's the general manager. What are the last two big trades he's made? And what are the types of trades he's been talking about now for 20 months?
He's been making swaps and hockey trades.
Yes.
It's Byram for Mittelstadt.
Yep.
It's McLeod for Savoy. It's Cousins for Josh Norris.
Yeah. He's making trades out of his core. for the same position. Right. Well, not in the middle set, Byram trade swap, but if I've got Friedman talking about Lukanen, and, I mean, even Adams, you know, he gave you the token question answer when he was asked about it, the presser, like, he wasn't as, you know, when he got asked about Lukanen, he did, in the goaltending, he did say he would look to make the team better. You know, he opened that door at least a creak. He didn't just say, no, Lukanen and Levi are goalies next year. And he could have, but he didn't. And Friedman's talked about it, so would that be his big idea for the summer? He's got to have one, right? He's going to be under pressure, and this team's got to make the playoffs. You've already made your center swap. You're not trading Dahlin or Thompson, so pick a guy from your core and go make another hockey trade, and to me, the guy you would do that with is absolutely Lukanen. And I've already got a little bit, a teensy bit of smoke that already kind of implies that that is maybe where he's headed.
He has had a good season in the NHL, so the Sabres might be afraid of getting rid of that because, again, like they have to shop in bargain bins or trades, right? You're going to trade for somebody else's goalie that has had a rough time that is also $5 million. Like, how's that going to work? Are they going to eat salary in this potential Lukanen trade? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, he's on the roster, and the idea of somebody taking his salary and term on his contract to me sounds unlikely, but if Friedman says it's there, then I've got reason to trust that.
Yeah, I think it's tough. Like, I think it's warranted to think we want to move off of that and try something new there. But I think it's systematically and in the league, very a tough trade to make. And, like, you're not going to find a lot of teams that are looking to make that bet on a guy. The teams that come to mind for me are, like, Vancouver.
Yeah.
Like, Demko's always hurt. Do they want to take a shot on a guy? They're kind of in a middle ground, like...
That's the Norris trade, isn't it?
Right.
That is, you've got a young guy who's looked good 1 year and has promise, and I'm going to swap him for another guy who's definitely better, but I've got a big injury concern to look at.
Exactly. And I don't know that the Sabres want to take two of those risks going into this year. Seems scary to me.
How many times am I going to forget Josh Norris exists?
You're going to their highest paid forward,
yes.
And their number one center on paper going into next year.
I'm going to forget about him 100 times. They traded Cousins. Who'd they get? Oh, yeah.
Right. Jacob Bernard Docker?
Right. Norris, who never played, which is unfortunate because that could have been a nice little boost for the Sabres, like pushing next year about what they have and why people should believe in them.
For context on the Friedman thing, by the way, it wasn't like the strongest, you know, quote ever. He said, there are teams, this was on April 19th, there are teams who believe that Lukanen could be available. Whispers around the league, the teams that are looking for goaltenders, that he may be the guy who could be out there.
All right. Well, good luck to Kevin Adams on that one. We'll see. Again, if he's the one making the decisions. Our phone number is 803-0550. We expect that to be the case. 1-888-550-2550. The Amherst Advance. And Devin Levi, again, is spectacular for them. Another shutout. They swept Syracuse. They go on to the next round. In the NHL playoffs, we don't really have any sort of keep an eye on this guy because he's going to win the cup and embarrass the Sabres, right? Like, Cousins just got eliminated last night.
Yep.
No Cousins. You've got Toronto, Florida, which means... half of Florida's roster again. Maybe not half. But
a lot of those guys are gone
now,
aren't they?
That's right. It's
Montour's gone. It's Reinhart. Oposo's gone. And Reinhart. And then Rodriguez is still there.
Right. Reinhart, basically. Washington, Carolina, nothing really there. You've got Eichel again. Eichel v. Skinner, if you want that.
Yeah. Although Skinner, wasn't playing every game.
He's not a big contributor for Edmonton.
No. He got his streak broken. He made the playoffs. He played a playoff game.
Now he's out of the conference semifinals.
I think he played game one and that was it.
There you go.
So he only played game one.
Wait, is this like...
he had an assist, by the way.
Was this a ceremonial let him play game one and now he's out for the rest of the playoffs?
Ooh, that would be tough.
Was there a ceremonial Jeff Skinner's never made the playoffs and they gave him the opening face-off and then just like put him on the bench?
Oh, man.
How many...
I think they might have.
Really? That might be it.
He had a point. Yeah. He had an assist in the game. Listen, if that's the only playoff game he ever plays, playoff game, 1 point. I mean, he might want to retire.
I mean, he had a point and they took him out.
He's like, I'm going to go out on top here.
I think he was a minus three, I saw. Or yeah. Maybe it was
minus,
worse.
Minus two.
Minus two, okay.
I think he was he on the ice for all three goals, but he didn't get a minus
three. That might be right. I mean, how much of that is on him and Skinner?
Not that this guy is the same thing, but I think he also lost his spot to Evander Kane, who returned after not playing all season from injury.
Gotcha.
That might be part of the reason why, and he's probably more built for playoff-style hockey. It would be Eichel, though, wouldn't it? Eichel winning a second time?
Sure.
Is the only, Because everything he would win, you know, the embarrassment of you traded away your best player and he won without you. If it's now, well, he's won two without you.
Sure.
And then if he's won three without you, like, it might depend how many he wins. But
isn't the embarrassment, isn't that whole thing over, though?
I think so for the most part.
It's over.
I'm saying it could get fired up again if he wins again.
I guess.
Or if he goes to the finals.
I have almost never felt that. Like, the year and the comments he made when he came back, I was hot. But after that, like, you're in Vegas. Go be Jack Eichel in Vegas.
All it would be is just more evidence that you know, the plan out of the gates with him was you got to have a center that good to be able to win the Stanley Cup, and more evidence that, oh yeah, he was always good enough to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You got to have a great team, but he was, you know, he was good enough to be the best player on a cup-winning team.
The only thing that could be different is we're watching the handshake line here. He scored last night on a breakaway, Eichel did, a big goal on the road in Minnesota. The only thing that could be different is if they win another one and he wins the Conn Smythe this time. Which,
because Marchessault won it last time.
Yeah, I mean, Eichel had a good claim to it, but Marchessault did win it.
Yeah.
And then you'd have, you know, O'Reilly and Eichel both winning it. But again, like, I do think you've still got your fans that are going to want to go and boo him when they come to the building. And that's fine. That makes total sense. But the idea that it's salt in the wounds, mm-hmm. like, you're talking about salt in the wounds of the nerve endings are already dead. It's just like, whatever. Who cares? I've got my own front porch to clean up over here. So I'm going to mix a lot of metaphors here, but I never worried about it. It never hurt me, the idea that he was going to win there. I fully expected him to go there and be successful. You know, you wanted the Sabres to come out of it even, looking good, going in the right direction, and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But they're on to the next round, and Edmonton-Vegas is a heck of a series.
Yeah.
I guess my only thing would be, who coached Team USA, by the way, in the Four Nations again? Help me remember.
I know Bill Guerin was the GM.
Cooper and Sullivan?
Cooper and Sullivan, okay.
That might be right.
Because the U.S. lost when they stopped matching Eichel against McDavid in that game.
Sullivan was the coach, I think.
Because Eichel was against him for a good chunk of it, and then Matthews started the draw because Matthews, I mean, he's great too. And, they lost that tournament.
The staff was Mike Sullivan, John Tortorella, John Hines, and David Quinn.
All right.
I don't know where I grabbed John Cooper from. That's Canada.
Canada was the,
803-0550. Carl in Minnesota. We got to call on Devin Levi. Let's go for it. Hey, Carl.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to weigh in on what I feel is like the mishandling of Devin Levi so far at the NHL level. At least he came in at the end of the season that he left college and played great because he was in game shape. He had played a whole season. The next year, Granato started the year with him. I think he played four games in 6 days, and they got him injured. And Granato said after the last game, he said he wanted them to feel the grind. What grind is there at the beginning of the year? I don't get that. Hmm. And this year, I thought he was set up to fail with just the spot start. So he gets a lot of criticism for his NHL record, and I think he's been a lot better.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Carl. Isn't Levi one of the things that, whenever we talk to Paul about what the Sabres have done the last couple of years, they put guys in roles they're not ready for, and they don't have enough of a veteran presence, and that started to turn a little bit here with your Zuckers and Greenways and the guys of that caliber, and that what Levi needed was just a little bit of time. They put him in that one season when they're trying to make the playoffs because it was working. Like, ride him into the ground. It's the end of the season. He's in form. Let's go. And then after that, it was trying to recapture that lightning in a bottle, and then that never came back, and they were pushing it too hard.
Yeah, I think they were going off of what they saw at the end of his first year, where he came in and was, you know, the push that they needed to try and make a run. And I don't think I agree with the game shape point like that. Levi, knowing what I know about him, I know a couple of people that speak very highly of him. He works way too hard to ever be out of shape, not be able to play four games in 6 days. I think any, you know, really solid goaltending prospect would want that and welcome that. But I think that they were, yeah, exactly, trying to catch that lightning in the bottle because they saw it the year before. And you can't really try and do that with him because he was too young. He had come off a great season at Northeastern. And you've got all that momentum that can make up for a lot of sort of inefficiencies or shortcomings of your preparation in the NHL, if you're sort of ramped up at that level, you can make up for the lack of experience, but that doesn't last through a whole summer into the next season. Like, you can come in and feel great, feel ready, but you still, you need to let him cook in the AHL like they did this year.
Yeah. Listen, a lot of that was, it is kind of amazing looking back that, one, he was able to get into the net in the first place, right? They were pushing for the playoffs. There were only 7 games left, and the kid that had just played college hockey the week before
was their best option.
Was like, we got to put him in. This is where we're at. And then the next year, to have him be the plan as the number one goalie, listen, off those 7 games, it was a little bit more defendable. But it was always a long shot, I think, that him at that age and that experience was going to be able to play. I mean, what? I wonder what in their perfect world they were hoping for going into, not this past season, the year prior.
Him to
play 50 games?
To be 40, to be one of the very, very rare guys to show up and be that young and be good.
Right. And that was a lot to ask. And I've pointed out his numbers weren't as bad that season as you think they were. At Evolving Hockey, his goal saved above expected, like per 60 or whatever, he was 20th out of 72 goalies.
Yeah, and they've lived a lot lower than that.
This past year, he was definitely bad. But the year prior, he wasn't as bad as you think.
803-0550. We're not going to spend the whole day on the Amerks and Devin Levi, but they did win last night. He had a shutout, and the Amerks are on to the next round. Of course, we'll talk plenty of Bills. We got to talk about the schedule, which comes out now in 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. These new uniforms, if anybody has any ideas, I mean, I don't know that, fabric design is a radio topic we've hit too often. Or it's not even probably the right word or term, but the rivalries uniforms, if you've not heard about that, it's going to be interesting. It'll be something for everyone to love, hate. So we'll talk about that as well. 803-0550. I also have a list of 7 landing spots for Amari Cooper, if we're going to keep an eye on him. And I would just advise Brandon Bean to not read it. It's at NFL.com from Adam Rank. Anyway, go ahead. 803-0550, our phone number here on WGR.
Left wall for Pouliot, hesitates, slips his way down low to the corner, back up high for Geeky, walks to the middle, fakes, nearly stumbles, gets it toward the net, save, rebound, it gets behind Levi, a scramble and a crease, and the whistle blows.
Devin Levi and the Amerks on to the next round. They're in Rochester, a sweep with a crunch. Levi, back-to-back shutouts. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Friday. Some weather coming in this weekend. The Derby, we're going to do our 9:30 Derby segment with Nick the Railbird from Batavia Downs to tell you all about what's going on at Batavia Downs. We'll get an official morning show bet. We are going to ask him to try to include the horse named Owen Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he doesn't get scratched, then,
there was somebody else. Rodriguez, I saw, has already been scratched.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know who replaced Rodriguez, but.
Good question. If there's somebody.
A new name in the field,
if there's somebody ready to go, ready to launch.
Yep.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Give us a call if you want, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 here on this Friday. We opened up talking about the Amerks and Devin Levi and the Sabres' plans for the net going forward, whether or not Levi and Lukanen, and also continuing to wait for the Sabres to make any sort of announcement, if there even will be one, about the future of their front office. I don't know anybody that expects a big change. Mm-hmm. Elliot Friedman, his report was there will be changes, but he doesn't know how big or small. That could be like an assistant coach or something like that. So it's another Friday and just kind of, waiting for anything with that regard. So
yeah,
if anything comes along, of course, you'll hear it here on WGR. We'll go to the phones, though. Mark in Chicago is first up here in this next segment. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, guys.
Morning.
A long-time listener. Haven't had a chance to call because just very busy, but I wanted to just talk a little bit. First off, it's nice to see the Amerks succeeding, but it seems like we often seem to focus on the Amerks success more than we do on the Sabres success. So I know it's difficult as a hockey fan. Back on the Bills front, one thing I wanted to kind of bring up, and I heard Sal on your show talk about it a few days ago about the infamous call and so forth, and that maybe Bean was just protecting his guys. And I have kind of a theory on that I didn't hear anybody bring up this week. I work in like a Fortune 50 company, and anytime you have some huge projects or a long-term thing that you're doing, you tend to have some sort of like, I'll call it a celebration or a recap afterwards. So my kind of theory in the way I think Bean was very aggressive with you guys was I think he may have said, okay, we've been working all weekend, all year toward a goal. We got there. Take Sunday off. Enjoy your family. And then Monday, let's do a recap. Come in the office. Talk about what we learned, what we could have done better, et cetera. So my guess is he probably had a bunch of scouts sitting in an office at One Bills Drive, even listening to the show. And they may have come to him and said, hey, you know, we don't feel like people are giving us the due we get, we should get. And I think it's a defensive mechanism, obviously, but it makes me really wonder how much of this is more just him just kind of feeling like they put this whole year worth of work in, and the first thing they're hearing, not necessarily that that's what you said, was kind of negative, I'll say. And I listened to your show. You know, I heard a few callers calling about the wide receiver piece, but I highly doubt that that's what Brandon actually heard before he was on the call. I think he heard something from his scouts, and then he just kind of used that as motivation to talk the way he did to you guys.
Sure. Thanks, Mark. Maybe. The more interesting thing is that it, because that wouldn't be new to him. That wouldn't be new to any general manager in the National Football League that you would, especially for what it wasn't even criticism. It was more of a question about how he operates at a position. How many GMs in the league would wake up the next morning if they turned on the radio and heard some form of criticism of their draft?
Well,
it happens every single year to a lot of general managers. That's not the interesting part. Isn't that he would have disagreed with it? It's the energy and the anger that he kind of took to it, because that's the unique thing that you don't almost ever see from any general manager in the NFL. That's what's interesting about it.
Yeah, that really is what made it happen. Was the presentation. If he had just said, yeah, whatever, it does not go where it went, really, at all. It doesn't go viral. You know, people don't treat it like how it was treated. Mark, I think what's Sal's theory about protecting his guys is an interesting point, and I think it makes sense. The only problem with it is that the draft is where you take players to replace guys on your team. And the Bills took a defensive tackle, two defensive tackles. They took a corner, and they took a defensive end. Like, yeah. A.J. Epenesa might be out because Landon Jackson is in.
They took a guy that has the Cam Lewis skill set.
Right.
So it's like, he's Cam Lewis 2.0.
It's to some degree, it's one of the questions I asked of Joe Marino when he was on with us. Like, which Bill had the worst? It was on the show that Joe and I do on Mondays and Thursdays. Like, which Bill had the worst weekend? And he said A.J. Epenesa, probably, because Landon Jackson might be coming for that guy's job. And, you know, Michael Hoyt and...
Did he say Dane Jackson, too, had bad day because that the numbers at corner now are suddenly like...
Right, right.
There's a ton of guys.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, we could try to get inside of Brandon Bean's head, and, you know, we've probably done that to a great degree and probably too far. I just end up thinking, throughout this, pretend there wasn't an argument. It's, and whatever, I don't know, we've talked so much about it. I appreciate you bringing it up, Mark, so I'm not upset. Someone will be mad that we're talking about it, but that's okay. It's very, 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 very simple to me. They wanted a receiver, and they didn't get it done, and down there's disagreement about whether or not that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. They were going to get one. They were trying to get one. They planned to get one. They would have done 20 mock drafts. They probably got one in 17 of them, and they wanted one, and they didn't get one, and because they didn't get one, they signed Elijah Moore, who looks like a nice player. It's a nice safety net. It's a nice backup plan.
And you also would probably count on being able to make an impact for you without seeing the guy in training camp. You would count on Elijah Moore making an impact more than you would a fourth-round rookie.
Yeah, and maybe Bean felt that, where, you know, I was listening to Joe Marino again, who talked about the way the board fell. Once you got to the fourth round, it was either going to be the Deion Walker pick or it wasn't going to happen. Right. And that has happened to the Bills a couple times. This is, if you're always picking 30th, and this is another thing. Bean talked about this before the draft, about how you're picking as late as we are. You know, it is a thing you earn. That's a good sign you're picking that late. But, man, it's got to be frustrating. Imagine, you know how it is. You really want someone. Think about your own fantasy draft. I know it's not fantasy football. But you draft 12th in a 12-person league. You might really want somebody. Like, guess what? You're not going to get them. Sorry. You can't have him.
Right, because the guy at 7 picks him 3 spots higher than he normally goes.
Yes, and you've done all your mocks, and you think, my God, this guy's going to slide to me, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that happens 7 years in a row. Yeah. You can go back to the Bills drafting James Cook when they traded down twice. Why do you trade down? Because the board doesn't fall for you, so you try to pull some more out of the board by moving down. What happened in the Worthy draft? Worthy and Coleman, why did they trade down a couple spots? Well, because the board probably didn't fall. Maybe they thought that these three players would be there, and all three got scooped. And if that happens 10 times in a row, you're probably annoyed by it, but you do the best that you can do and come out with good players and feel good about it. And then when somebody says, how come you didn't do the thing we all thought you were going to do? The answer you don't want to give, because you're not allowed to give this as an NFL GM, is say, we got scooped 10 times. Instead, you just say,
right,
it didn't work out. We got what we liked. And, you know, that all does make sense. I kind of, you know, joked a little bit in the first segment. There's an article at NFL.com, landing spots for Amari Cooper. And I clicked on it because I thought, come on, no way, right?
That they'd be listed?
No way. No way will the Bills be listed.
Because I wouldn't list them if I were doing that article.
Seven landing spots for Amari Cooper. I just wanted to see. I'm a glutton for. It's Kevin Patras, senior news writer, NFL.com. Amari Cooper landing spots. Number one, Dallas. Okay?
Yep.
Number two, Arizona. Three, New Orleans. Four, Philly. Five, Vegas. Six, Jets. Seven, Bills. And what does he write about the Bills? The Bills have shown little interest in bringing Cooper back after last year's disappointment. But hey, they could still use some wideout help, even if saying that aloud brings the ire of Brandon Bean. And then he writes, the Elijah Moore signing doesn't change that. Cooper already knows the offense could continue to build chemistry with Josh Allen after sporadic play. If Bean was willing to trade draft assets for Cooper during the season, couldn't he consider bringing him back on the cheap? And I've always thought that that was a possibility, they'd bring him back on the cheap, but right now it looks like it's not that cheap.
All right.
803-0550. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the phone call. Brian in Canada before the break. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Just one thing I haven't heard a lot of people talk about with the whole offseason approach, focusing on defense, defensive heavy draft. Is there a possibility that there wasn't the same confidence in the defense last year to get a stop, and it maybe affected the way they played on offense? You know, adding Josh Palmer, a guy who separates, adding Elijah Moore, a little bit of speed. They think that maybe they might have a bit of an offensive change in their approach to the game plan now, where they may let Josh take a few more risks, maybe push the ball downfield, and they have the confidence that they can get the stop when they need it. So if it doesn't work out, they've got the ball back instead of, you know, 4 or 5 yard passes, screen passes on your last drive of the year. Maybe they actually go out and try and win something.
Right. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I think sometimes complementary football as a phrase gets thrown out there and we think about it as run and pass. And McDermott means it from a standpoint of how the offense and the defense mesh together and playing all three phases. And he's never happier. Well, I shouldn't like put this on him, but when watching post-game speeches, when all three phases have made a play, isn't the head coach
that's
when a coach is the happiest, because he gets to celebrate every player. Like, we did it together. That's complementary football. Love that. So that might be right, that that what they've done will change the way they play offensively as well. You know, it's funny. Like, yesterday I saw a stat that the Eagles and the Chiefs versus the Bills and the Chiefs, the Eagles got as many stops of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl as the Bills have in the last four playoff games, which says a lot. And one of the things that has come out of this, and you and I will have to just deal with this for the next, I don't know, eternity, someone took that graphic and tagged you and I and said, but you guys hate the defensive draft. Like, Bean has, whatever, made headlines. He's also convinced a lot of people that we hated the draft, which I guess is fine. You don't have to care what we think about the draft. But as soon as that game ended against the Chiefs, my feeling was, I can't believe they can never stop this guy. I can't believe.
No matter how good their offense is.
Right, their offense is not even good, and you still can't stop them. I mean, it led to questions about McDermott for me, and the offseason being about Garrett and Crosby and Hendrickson. And I want to play you something. Maybe we'll do this at 7 because I want to get enough time to flesh it out. Matt Bove caught up with Sean McDermott and asked him about the draft. And McDermott's answer was good. And, you know, do we read between the lines too much on things? Possibly. But McDermott's answer, I think, was very interesting because he is... I don't want to go too far on this. He's just kind of living with Brandon Bean, and they're trying to do this thing together. And what he said about all of their defensive draft picks, the way he said it to me was indicative of the blame game down there. Like, who did this? Why is the defense bad?
Why is the defense bad?
Why is the defense the problem?
The first time they've really had a bad unit, by the way.
Yeah.
If I can just put special teams aside for a second. It's the first time they had a arguably bad unit in how long? When's the last time they had a bad unit?
Yeah.
Was it the 2018 Bills offense? Like, it's been years.
It's been a while. Special teams had a couple bad years.
That's why I like it, right? Putting them aside.
Sure, sure. All right, 803-0550. We'll play that McDermott clip top of the hour. Matt Bove asking McDermott about the defense. And it does lead to the question, like, why was it bad? Let's ask about that. Let's discuss it. 803-0550. Why did it need so much correction? Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Put up a Twitter poll just moments ago. Interested to see the results. We'll talk about it. We'll hear from Sean McDermott, who spoke with Matt Bove yesterday. Play a clip from that and then ask this question. The near universal belief that Bills defense was a problem last year is likely due to both, but which is the primary reason it was not good enough, personnel or coaching?
Mm-hmm.
And you can vote in that. I think I know what will win. I'm interested to see what the number will be. So we'll check in on that. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. You can give us a ring. You can also get the WGR VIP Golf Pass at getmyperks.com. It's $129 to grab that, and you get golf all over the place. A gift card to Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse, Destroyer Park Golf, that's kind of a cool thing that's going on. You can get Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Bobolinks, Atticus 10th Hole, an hour at Golf Dojo, and a box of Encore golf balls. All of that for the price of $129 at getmyperks.com, the WGR VIP golf pass. I think you can golf today. Dodging raindrops.
Look outside right now.
It's going to rain every day this weekend, but it's not going to rain all weekend.
It also poured last night.
It did.
So, you could. I don't know how enjoyable it will be.
Get some drainage. You know, 90-degree cart rule or car path only. Maybe.
It's going to be an opportunity to use that hour at a golf dojo.
That's right.
Really, this weekend.
You could. All right. So the answer to that question, the Twitter poll, how that trends, your calls on that as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Also have a couple callers on Devin Levi and the Sabres we'll get to as well. Levi and the Amherst shut out Syracuse in advance to the next round of the Calder playoffs. Jeremy and Joe with your phone calls when we return and the results of that Twitter poll and Sean McDermott on his defense-heavy draft.